Good morning. Today we are beginning our study in the book of Hebrews in the portion that is called the second part of Hebrews. And as we study this, we are going to learn more about Jesus and about the fact that He is our high priest. So let us begin our study today in prayer and give thanks to Him being our high priest. Father, we come to you again thanking you for this privilege together, Father, to study your word. And we ask that the Holy Spirit teach us, guide us, lead us, and direct us, and give us wisdom and knowledge of your truth, Father, that we may take it out into this world of darkness and bring light into lives of many that have not believed. And we ask it now in the name of Jesus. Our study begins going back into the fourth chapter and continuing in the fifth chapter. So I want to read first the last verse in chapter 4 as we finished up just a few days back in our study. So the word says in chapter 4, verse 16, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, before we go on and read Hebrews 5, we want to look at this chapter, what it's about and who it's about. And the topic of this chapter is, "Consider Jesus your high priest." Now, in the Old Testament, a high priest was taken from among men so that they could deal gently with the ignorant and misguided. This is Jesus, our high priest. So, we know, as we have studied the first four chapters, that the book of Hebrews focuses our attention on Jesus, our great high priest, who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So here, as we study this, we see that the writer of Hebrews presents Jesus being the high priest. And remember that Hebrews is a word of exhortation. Therefore, these truths have practical application to our lives. So let's look now at Hebrews chapter 5. And as we go through, notice what it is saying about the priest, the priesthood, and the high priest. And also what it is saying about Jesus. And we'll read these and then we will discuss some things that it says about Jesus the high priest. Starting with verse 1, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he, the high priest, himself also is beset with weakness. and because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins, as for the people also for himself. And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. And let's look and see what these first four verses are saying. In the Old Testament, the people had to have a high priest that could intercede for them before God. And we know that in studying, Jacob had 12 sons. And one of those sons was Levi. And each son, whenever the land was divided and allotted to each son. And they were different tribes. And so God had appointed the tribe of Levi to be the priest. That's where the priest would come. So as they were chosen then from the tribe of Israel to be the priest that ministered at the altar, and they had a right to enter the holy place. And others of the tribe of Levi were not priests, but they ministered in ways such as moving the tabernacle and its furniture. But all priests were from the tribe of Levi, but not all from Levi were priests. And we know that God chose Aaron's sons. Aaron and Moses were descendants of Levi. So Aaron, who was of the tribe of Levi, was the first one ever consecrated by God as high priest. Only the high priest could offer sacrifices in the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement. Now, to understand more about the high priest and what was assigned to them, they had to be dressed a certain way. And we're going to the 28th chapter of the Exodus. And we're going to see the garments that the high priest wore. So I'm going to start with verse 1, and I'll try to read through this quickly. If you'll take your Bibles and follow me. Verse 1, "Now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priests. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar." Now, God had told Moses to take Aaron and his brother and his sons. Let's continue now in verse 2. "And you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, and they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest." Notice, I'm going to stop there in that fourth verse, and it gives a description of each garment. that is made. It says they are skillfully woven. And we see that it starts with the ephor, and then it goes to the breastplate, and it gives a description of the breastplate. And each garment, there were specific ways that they were to be made. And so he started out with the breastplate and the ephor, and then a robe that was skillfully woven, and a turban and a sash. All of these were made for Aaron and for his sons. And they were very special, and it was told by God that they were to wear these, and they were holy garments. So we won't read through all of chapter 28, but you might want to come back and read that entire chapter and see how that there were specifics in each one of these garments, how they were woven and how they were made and put together. So it is a concentration of Aaron and his sons as priests. So it's just to familiarize us with the priest and with his garments. So that's what we're looking at in the Old Testament as priests. And as you read through the Old Testament, you learn that only the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. And he had to make offering of sacrifice first for himself and then for the people. And that was done once a year on the Day of Atonement. So let's read now, starting with verse 5 in chapter 5. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," just as he says also in another passage, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." And in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So let's look at these verses. We see that now Christ has come, and he is glorified by the Father to become a high priest. And the quote here in verse 5 said, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." So God is recognizing his son, and he's saying, "Today I have begotten you." And also in verse 6, he says in another passage, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Now, there's a lot of study that we will be doing later on Melchizedek and we're not going to go into that at this time. Verse 7, he said, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. We know that God himself came to this earth in the flesh through his Son. He was brought through the Virgin Mary, and it wasn't by man, but it was through the Holy Spirit. And he said, in the days of his flesh. So whenever he was here in his flesh, he offered both prayer and supplication with loud crying and tears to God himself to save him from death. And God heard because of his piety. We know that before Jesus went to the cross, that he also prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he asked the Father. He pleaded with the Father. He cried and he gave forth sweats of blood. He was so wrought, and he cried out and he begged his Father to save him from what he was about to have to go through. But he ended his prayer in saying, not my will, Father, but your will be done. And we know that God heard him, because when he went to the cross and he died, that God did save him by raising him the third day, and that he is seated next to him on the throne. So it says in verse 9, having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Jesus himself was perfect without any sin. That was the only reason that he could go and die for us and for our sins. He was the perfect sacrifice. And he was designated by God as a high priest. The scripture says in verse 10, according to the order of Melchizedek. So we're going to see that order as we get into the later study. I believe it's in chapter 7 that we will study about Melchizedek. But God made him high priest when he was seated at his right side. He became our high priest. He became our salvation. And look at verse 9. And having been made perfect, he became to all who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Now let's finish out and read 11 through 14. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Now, we're looking now, the Hebrew writer, the one that is writing the book of Hebrews, is speaking to the recipients. He's speaking to those that he is writing to, and he is saying to them that it is hard to explain to them about Jesus and his being high priest, because they had become dull of hearing. And we know that If you become dull of hearing, it's because you are not listening when you're dull of hearing. And it said in verse 12, this is Hebrews 5, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. In other words, they were still babes in their understanding of the gospel of what Jesus had done. They had learned. It had been told to them. They had heard. And they had believed what they were told, that Jesus had come and had gone to the cross and died for their sins, and that God had raised him the third day, and he was seated at God's side, and now he has become high priest. But the writer is saying that by now they should be able to teach this gospel to those that they come in contact with. But he said, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the articles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. In other words, they were like babes. When babies are born, they can't eat solid food. Their body and their stomachs are not prepared for it, and they have to have milk as a substance of life. And he's saying that's what you're like. You're just like babes when it comes to God's word and the gospel. You should be able to teach others what you have learned, but you haven't grown yet. You haven't drank into the word, and you're not ready for solid food. It says, verse 13, for everyone who partakes of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. In other words, as true believers, if you don't read the word, if you don't study the word, you're not accustomed to what the word says, and you're still an infant in the word. The only way that we can read and study the word is to be in the word constantly, not just occasionally. And that's what he was saying to them. You have grown because you have not become accustomed to the word of righteousness. You're still infants. In verse 14, he says, but solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now, here we see the author is saying to them that they're still babes in the word. They are not accustomed. They haven't studied the word. They haven't practiced it. They haven't trained themselves. So, according to what you have studied and heard now in Hebrews 5, how would you describe yourself as a Christian? Are you a babe? Are you still an infant? Or are you on solid food? As an infant or as a mature believer, how much do you study the word? How much have you grown in the wisdom and the knowledge of God's grace through his word? You know that if you're still an infant, it's because that you have not applied it to your life that you have not studied it. The only way that we can become a partaker or to become of solid food is to be in the solid Word of God. So, according to this chapter, what do you think it takes to make one mature? That's what we were just talking about. It takes study in the Word. It takes prayer and asking God to teach us through the Holy Spirit. Everything we see, we have studied in this fifth chapter about Jesus, our high priest. So we need to look at it, pray about it, and apply it to our lives. So it's very essential that we study God's Word, that we might grow up in Him. And we're so thankful to know that we have a great high priest that we can go to anytime. We don't have to go through a earthly high priest that some are taught that that's necessary. No, if we have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, if we have believed upon His name and repented of our sins, we have received salvation. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and we are mature in the Word if we study the Word. So we're going to end this session of the first lesson here in the second portion of Hebrews, and we want to end it just as we do all of our studies. As we pray in the beginning, we pray in the end, and we ask the Lord to teach us. Heavenly Father, we know that we cannot understand Your Word, Your truths, unless we are true believers, because once we become true believers, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And Father, Your Word teaches us that the Holy Spirit teaches us, guides us, leads us, directs us, protects us. He is there for that purpose. And we know that You teach us that we're to ask, we're to seek, and we're to knock. We're to do this continually because we need You continually to teach us Your Word. So we end our study today and ask You to teach us what we have studied today and implant it into our heart, mind, and soul, and help us to live it out to glorify Your name. And I ask it all now in the name of Jesus. Amen.